that Ahmadi went through 10 tests. Went to Asur Nisyanus. One Asur Nisyanus, we know, is in the son of Orkastin. The son of Orkastin. Then the son of Orkastin was that Adam Avinu smashed the idol of his father's store, of his father's shop. And his father came back, it's a medrash, and his father came back and he saw the shop in total turmoil. And he said, you know, what's going on here? So, Adam Avinu said, you know, this amazing thing happened. He left his store. I was sitting down reading the paper, and all of a sudden this huge idol came with a massive hammer and smashed all the other idols up. So Avraham Avinu said, so the father said to Avraham Avinu, terrified, Avraham Avinu, come on, you're crazy, you're hallucinating. It can't be. How can I? I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes. He said, how can I? It's not possible. I saw it. I saw the idol take a hammer and smash all the other idols up. Can't be. Then I saw it. So why can't it be? He said, how can it be that this idol can't see, can't hear, or can't even move? How can it possibly be that it smashed up all the idols? So Avraham Avinu said, aha, you hear what you're saying? And Naim Nahem Lo Yiru, as Naim Nahem Lo Yishmo, Aflehem Lo Yerichun, Yidayim Lo Yemishun, Yidayim Lo Yelechun. How can it be? It's impossible. That why do you sell these things then? Anyway, Terach was furious. His business was in ruin. And people used to ask Terach how's business, he would say, thank God. And he went and he did an obvious thing as any normal responsible father would do and took Avraham Avinu to big king Nimrod. It's a very strange thing. Nimrod's a terrible rasha, and it's a very common name in Israel. People call the kids Nimrod. It's an amazing thing. Nimrod's a real rasha. It's like calling the kids Hitler or something. Adolf, you know. They call the kids Nimrod. Very strange. Yeah, Sunday Nimrod. People call the kids Nimrod. He's a terrible king. He put Avraham Avinu, he always tried to totally annihilate the first being of the Jewish nation. No, if Nimrod was successful, he wouldn't be here today. Be that as it may, Nimrod put him in a fire. And he put him in a fire, and Avraham Avinu walked around the fire very comfortably, and he was taken out, and he was Degeirus, his brother Degeirus tried to do the same thing, he died, etc., 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 etc. This is all through Remez. All through Remez from Pesukim. How it's brought through Remez, you can look in the Medrash. But it's all brought through Remez.
Why did Terah try and take his own son to
He's an atheist. He's an atheist. Smash up gods like that, total disrespect. Where's your mysterious nephesh?
There are many atheists who would not take their children to be killed.
But he was a serious atheist. He's willing to die for his values. He's a man with values. He's willing to kill his son. So the idea behind it is a little bit deeper. The god of that time, the greatest god of that time, was fire. So Nimrod said, ah, you don't believe in fire, I believe my god is fire. So let's see which god is stronger. I believe in fire, you believe in your god. Let's see which one is stronger. So it's Rum and fire, and ultimately the god of Avram saved him. Be that as it may, it's a complicated medrash where it's brought from. But that is the son of Orkasi.
There's a medrash that's earlier that says that Nimrod had real requests that Avraham would be born, so he said to Terah, give you a whole bunch of money in order that you wouldn't have any kids. And Terah says back, well, give us a whole bunch of money for me, but then the kids inherit. So,
but he had another child, Terah had another child, that brought more than the possible beforehand.
Choron,
yeah. And two other children. Anyway, be that as it may. There's no direct mention of it in the Pesukim. It's all brought through Remez. The first Nesoyin we have of Avraham Avinu going through Nesoyin is Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha U'Me'avitzcha. The question that Bali Musa asks is, why is this Nesoyin such a great Nesoyin of dying a Kiddush Hashem, going into a fire, going into a furnace, doing dangerous things in order to prove that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hu Elokim, why is it not brought down in the Pesuk? Why does the Pesuk start with Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha U'Me'avitzcha? And they answer many different shirts, and one teretz I'd like to pick up on. Before I answer that, there's another pasuk I'd like to just draw your attention to, which I mentioned last year. The pasuk says, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Kosev Baruch Hu, this is the way they'll bless you. Which means the Gemara says in Brachos, the Gemara says, Yochol Kosev Mekulam, perhaps I should finish off the bracha of Mogen Avraham, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Like the bracha starts, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Avraham Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Why does Tzadok only finish off the bracha with Elokei Avraham? Yochel Chosim Mekulam Tamlona Chosim Baruch. This is how you shall be blessed, which means you'll be blessed with Chosim Avraham Avinu. On that, the Bali Musa say, Shmuel Rozovsky says it, I think it was Rav Shimon Scott said it as well, as far as I remember. He says Chosim Baruch means Yochel Chosim Mekulam means perhaps the Golos will end with a Chos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Kamash Malon, no, the only finish of the Avraham Avinu. What does that mean? The Chesed, the Chasima of the Golos, the Chasima of the Golos that we're in today is going to be through the Zchus of the Avraham Avinus. Through the Zchus of the people who are Avraham Avinu, not the people who are Yitzchak and Yaakov. Who are the Yitzchak and Yaakov? Who are the Avraham Avinus? The Avraham Avinus are the Baalei Teshuva, the followers of Terach. The Yitzchak and Yaakov have fathers and grandchildren of grandfathers who are FFPs, they're born into from families. Yachol Chesim Mekulam, perhaps the Golos will end off with the Zchus of everybody. Says the Pasuk, no, it will end off with the Zchus of Avraham Avinu. So I want to ask you another question. If that's the case, very nice. But why Avraham Avinu? Why does Avraham Avinu get all the credit? What about Yitzchak? We find later on, we always talk about the greatest, the pinnacle of the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu was the Akedah. And what do we call it? Akedas Yitzchak. But we all talk about the Avraham Avinu Schus. Zechor lanu eschus Akedas Yitzchak. We talk about Avraham Avinu did it. Why do we talk about Yitzchak doing it? Yitzchak was the one being bound on a Mizbeach and about to be slaughtered. Why do we talk about Avraham Avinu with his Nisyonos and his Mesirus Nefesh? Why is Avraham Avinu that we give all the credit to when he gets so little credit to Yitzchak? Why is it? And number two, why is it that we don't talk about the Nisyon of all Kastim and we only talk about Lechachom, Atzchom, and Melazetchom?
Well, I mean, you've given the answer
to
the first question already, which is that Yitzchak is FFB, so he believes in Hashem. So, you know, we believe in Hashem, we believe in Hashem for everything. Avraham is the one who has to take the lead.
Yeah, okay, so there's one idea that Avraham Avinu has, he worked things out himself. That's one side to it.
Even at the point of the Akedah, every leap of faith he takes is in some sense.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that in Hashem, deal with that next week. Exactly in the story of Avraham Avinu. But I want to bring another point here. The point here is that it's very, very easy to die a Kiddush Hashem. Very easy to die a Kiddush Hashem. It doesn't take long. It may be frightening for days. It may be frightening for hours, may be frightening for a few minutes, may be frightening for half a minute. You know, somebody comes in and says, are you Jewish? And a Nazi comes and, are you Jewish? And he knows either if you say yes, he'll shoot you now, or you know, take it to constant, he'll leave you and you have to starve in the ghetto. I don't know which one's easier. To say you're Jewish and to die, Kiddush Hashem, takes strength, but once it's done, it's over. You're on home ground, you're back home. To live a Kiddush Hashem, to live a Kiddush Hashem for every minute, to work with a Nisyoyim on a day-to-day basis of living a Kiddush Hashem, that is so much greater. To die in old custom is nice, but to leave a whole family behind, to leave a whole country behind, to leave a whole mindset behind, a paradigm, a way of life, that is in the sign of a Jew. That is in the sign that the Torah recognizes as great. And that is why the first Nisyon is not mentioned as Old Kastim, it's mentioned Lech Lecha, because that is what really takes the Mesirus Nefesh. And that is why, by the Nisyon of Avraham Avinu, we call the Nisyon of Avraham Avinu, not Yitzchak. Because Avraham Avinu is going to be the one who's going to be living with the guilt feeling, perhaps, or the loss of his son Yitzchak by the Akedah. Yitzchak will be bound up, finished! What do you think, what do you think is going to happen after that? He'll get a tremendous Olam Haba. What's he to be afraid of? Avraham Avinu are the ones who will be living with that loss. And therefore that is why we call it the Kedas, the Zchuskas of Avraham Avinu. And we talk about the Okasim being a minor event compared to Lech Lecha Ma'atzchom and Ladetchom. And that's why it makes sense of Chosav Aruch at the end, Yachol Chosim Mekulam, that the Golos will end with the Baalei Teshuva is because many people have died at Kiddush Hashem. Many, many, many thousands or even millions of people have died at Kiddush Hashem through generations. Whether it's Khmelnytsky, whether it's the Cossacks, whether it was the Holocaust, whether it was Spain. Many, many people have died at Kiddush Hashem. But today there's a generation of people who live at Kiddush Hashem. And that is why we're going to be zeicha to the Mashiach, to the kingdom of Mehavir Meinu. Because that is why, because it's so much more difficult to be living a Kiddush Hashem and dying a Kiddush Hashem, leaving behind the past, whether your families, whether it's your mindset, whether it's your job, whether it's your security. You know, it's not easy being in yeshiva. And depending on the food the yeshiva give. I'm sure there's one time when all of you are more comfortable. It's much more comfortable. That is the idea of Yochel Chayis Mekulam, that B'es Hashem, this Chus of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to give the warm Shalom Aleichem to the people who are living at Kiddush Hashem on a daily basis, not the people who are, you know, who died at Kiddush Hashem. It's fantastic, but that is not what the Nesoyen of Yiddishkeit is all about.
Well, aren't there more people that are living in Kiddush Hashem in previous generations than that?
There are plenty of people lived at Kiddush Hashem in previous generations. But to have an ideology of people living at Kiddush Hashem, to have a whole movement of people living at Kiddush Hashem, is a new thing. You had in different places, you know, the Jews in this place in Poland were threatened because they were Jews, and this place in Russia they were told to do certain jobs. But a whole ideology, a whole movement of Jews who leave behind everything and go towards Torah at Kiddush Hashem, is a new thing. It's never happened before. Never ever happened before.
No, because the Jews were never away.
Of course they were. They lived the Avodah Zarah all the way through Lanach.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, born with what they were born from, though, they went away. I'm saying, they were born not from.
But what about their children? What about the children? What about the children of people who served the Melech? Okay, Melech was not a very good example because they have many children. But people who served the other Avodah Zarah of Baal and all these. You know, you don't find that, you know, the children came back and there's a mass, you know, there's a big discovery program right around, or Kaftin, or Modai, or Poras. You know, didn't have such a thing.
Who's the king? Was it Hezekiah, who, like, so to speak, discovered the Torah and was,
Yeah, those individuals, mummish individuals. In a time
of the whole Amish fell back, he had all the idols.
He killed all the idols and he brought back the Jews who were pretending to be Jews, but they were, you know, they pretended to be from, but they had a little Avodah Zarah behind their doors. The ideology of people coming back from themselves, so many Avram Avinus, is a new thing. I want to move on. The Pasuk says, I'm not going to the Nesoyin of Lech Lecha. I did it last year. Anyone who has tapped on the shoulder and told Avram Avinu, you have no children now, if you leave it all behind and go to the place I tell you everything will be fine, I think anyone will listen to you. If you knew Hashem was speaking to you, and you know when Hashem speaks to you, he has a unique way of speaking to you. Yeah? When Hashem speaks to you, you know it's Hashem. Hashem speaks to you and says, you know, leave this place, everything will be fine. Who wouldn't? I'm not going to the Nesoyin. I'm not going to that Nesoyin. I want to just stress a little bit further. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk Dalet, Vayelech Avram kashadibbe elav Hashem, and Avram went like Hashem commanded him. Vayelech itoy leit, and he went with him light. Avram and Chomish Shani Meshubim Shani Betzaisim Echaron. And Avram was 75 and he left Choron. Vayikach Avram, and Avram took Esara Ishtoi, his wife Sarah, his light, Ben Ochav, his nephew light. Classic mistake. Veeskol Rechusham Asher Rechoshu, and all the Rechush that they, all the money that they had made at that time. Veesam Nefesh Asher Osib Choron. And the Balei Tshuva, the Geirim, that they made in the Choron, Vayetzu Leches out to Canaan, Vayavoyu out to Canaan. They went to leave Eretz Canaan, and they came to Eretz Canaan. I have to say something slightly different than I said last year. Vayelech, the Pasuk says, Vayelchu, Vayetzu Leches out to Canaan, Vayavoyu out to Canaan. I want to just,
last year,
I think Zev probably remembers. There is something I'd like to just change slightly from last year, and I think it's a beautiful pshat. What's the pshat over here? Two things. First of all, it says who Avram took with him. Avram took with him Sarah Ishtoi. Very nice. There's Loit ben Ochiv. Okay, I can understand that the chiddush is he took Loit with him. Okay. Took his wife with him. Not such a tremendous chiddush. There's Kol Rechushim Asher Rechosh, took with him all his possessions. Obviously, Hashem said, leave your place. You take your good possessions. Right? Took with the nefesh asher osav b'choron. Okay, maybe that's a chiddush that they came with him. I don't know. Also not such a big chiddush. Vayetzu leleches Eretz Canaan. They left to go to Eretz Canaan, and they came to Eretz Canaan. Vayevoya Eretz Canaan. What's vayetzu leleches Eretz Canaan? Vayevoya Eretz Canaan. So the Balaam wants to say that this, They say that a person, in order to reach the goals that they make out at the beginning, they have to remember the initial energy they started off with. When I first got my first pair of tefillin, the sefer who wrote them for me, Zvi Yirei Shemayim, he said to me, don't go into chumras with tefillin. Yeah, I know people go into different chumras and this and that. He said, all you should do is one thing. Remember one thing you put on tefillin. Try and conjure up. Try and remember the first time you put on tefillin. And every day you put on tefillin, try and think back to the first time you put on tefillin. I tried to do that. You know, it's sometimes successful, sometimes I'm not. But the first energy you put into a mitzvah, that is something tremendous. You know, the first Shema you said on Rosh Hashanah night, if it was a different Shema, one says the rest of the year. If one could somehow draw upon that energy one put into the beginning and use that as the time goes on, then one's whole life would be different. Avraham Avinu used a power. Every step he made to go to Eretz Canaan, even when he was just a step away, when he's just about to come to Eretz Canaan, was as if a Yetzelech is Eretz Canaan, was as if he just left Eretz Canaan. Which means the amount of energy he made, the last steps of his journey, to come to the place, and he's weary and he's tired and he's not sure where he's going, and eventually comes to Eretz Canaan, he did that Yavoy Eretz Canaan the same way as the Yetzelech. The same energy as if he just got the Tzivui Hashem to leave Eretz Canaan. That is the Yisoyf of growth, is to use the energy correctly and keep up the energy that one started off the mitzvah with. That is the Yisoyf. I'd like to add a couple of things. Why does it say Avraham Avinu took with him Esarei Ishtei V'Esloipa and Ochiv? I think it's MS. And again, also the Prophet says, that's called Rechush Masha Rechoshu. Many projects start off with an individual. And the reason why they aren't successful is because a person does not have a support group. A person starts with something by himself, it's difficult to continue. The genius of a chavrusa is that if one partner is tired, the other partner hopefully isn't tired and is going to push the other partner. Or within a group, or as a chavrusa, or in a shir, or in a yeshiva. There's a power of energy of a group of people doing something together. Synergy. Synergy is where 1 and 1 equals 3. The Avraham Avinu's success in making it to Eretz Canaan is a long way. And making a success to follow Dvar Hashem was he took with him his wife and his family. He took with him his friends and his family with him. And he made it a family project. He made a whole chavrusa, he made a whole group of people going to Eretz Canaan. And that kept him going. The Pasuk is saying, how did he make it to Eretz Canaan? Because he took with him people to help him along. One stage further, Esra Chushon. How is a person going to be successful sometimes in projects that ultimately some other people would fail in? The idea behind it is to invest financially in a project. I'll give you an example. You want to start learning Derech Hashem. Yeah, you want to start learning Derech Hashem. So one way of learning Derech Hashem is to take your sefer from the bookcase and to learn through Derech Hashem. And when you finish, put it back on the yeshiva bookcase. That can last, and that may not last. If a person that buys a Derech Hashem and he puts his name in, and he invested effort and money into something, that can make the difference of something being successful or not being successful. I'll give another example. A person down in the Shtibulach. A minion sometimes here, sometimes there. People start early, people start late. He also daven in a real shul. Every morning at fixed time. Fixed time and then daven in a real shul. Either he will or he won't. The best way of actually committing yourself is buying a seat. There's Rechusha Masha Rechoshu. He went with his Rechush. He made a financial decision of moving his stuff with him, using his money to make his commitment strong. That could be the pshat in the pasuk. That in order to reach a destination, in any goal one wants to make, one has to have three ideas. Number one, try and use the initial energy one put into it to keep oneself going. Number two, make a support system around you, friends, family, whoever it may be. And number three, invest in it financially. That is how Avraham Avinu Vayetzleh et Haaretz Kanaan Vayevoyeh Haaretz Kanaan. How many people start off on a project and end up staying in the station? They go back and can't really be bothered and they start learning this and they stop. And you know, after Daf Yomi you see them. Very, 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 tremendously inspiring. I went to last Daf Yomi Museum in Yad Eliyahu in Tel Aviv. Tens of thousands of people, and Amenia Heshmei Rabba, and the Gedolim were there. And how many people, when they came home, decided that they're going to start learning Brachos? And they started learning Brachos Daf Yomi. And they learned through Brachos. What's the next Masechta? Shabbos. Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha. Brachos is easy. Shabbos? Okay. Maybe we'll skip out. Once you skip Shabbos, you know, you wait another 6 years and in 11 months till the next cycle starts again. One has to start something and finish it. Make a support system. Involve yourself in it. And that way you'll arrive at the destination. There's a session. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Ches, Vayetak Mishom Ha'horo Mikedin Abes El. Vayet Oholoi Avraham Avinu planted his tent, as it were, Beis El Miyam, Beis El, towards the sea, Vaha'ai Mikedin. And the Pasuk specifies very clearly exactly where Avraham Avinu placed his tent. The question is why? Why is it so important to know exactly where Avraham Avinu based his tent? So the Chofetz Chaim says a very well known real estate principle. There are three important rules in real estate where you buy a home, and there they are. What are they, Joel? Location.
Location. Location.
Location and location. Avraham Avinu, the Av HaChesed, planted his tent between two cities, that any person going from one city to the other will be able to go through his tent and be neheneh and benefit from his Hachnasas Orchim. That is why it states very clearly where Avraham Avinu placed his tent. Says the Chofetz Chaim that Avraham Avinu made market research before he did anything in any mitzvah or any chesed in market research. How can I benefit the world the most? How can I be doing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best? How can I be the most beneficial and the most cost effective by doing mitzvahs? How am I going to do it? And he made market research and he found that the best destination to place his tent was between these two particular cities. So Chofetz Chaim says, how many of us, when it comes to Torah, or comes to mitzvahs, you know, we don't look for the very best. We hopefully get away with something not particularly the best quality. For example, Rabbi Sher said in the Simchas Beis Yeshiva, so how many people would buy a mobile phone in a closed box? You have a mobile phone with no, inside a white box with no picture on the front, there's a mobile phone, and that mobile phone could be any mobile phone. And you buy this mobile phone for 200 shekel, and inside the mobile phone. How many people buy such a mobile phone? They want to see what they're getting. It may be a good one, maybe not such a good one, it may be broken, it may be working. It's a mobile phone. And if it's broken, bring it back. You know, get signatures, bring it back, and we'll sort out for you. How many people do such a thing? But for an esrog, that's a normal way of marketing it. Certain people put much more stress on Torah than a business, and that's what the people you should be looking up to. How many people put as much effort into Torah than they put into the World Series? In the World Series, to get a ticket to the World Series, people camp outside for days before. Days before. Another example, Arthur Harrods. Harrods stayed in Knightsbridge. The night before, two nights before, people are camping out and living in tents on outside Harrods to be the first ones to go in for the sales. How many people do that when a Godel Hador giving a shir? They camp out for the night that he can be the closest to Ezra Shem to have a good seat in the base of Medrash to hear the Godel Hador speaking. And that is a limud. That's a musa. That we have to take Torah and Mitzvah seriously. We've got to make our market research. What's the best? What's the best filling? What's the best tzitzis? How's the best way of performing this mitzvah? Don't drive yourself crazy, but one has to give it the seriousness of market research like Avraham Avinu did over here. We say by Siyam of a Masechta, we say Onam Melim Vehem Melim. So the Baal Musa asks, Onam Melim Vehem Melim. What do we care if then Heim Melim? Onam Melim. What do we care if Heim Melim? What does it do to us? So they answer something very beautiful. They say that Onam Melim, we should learn by Heim Melim. We should learn how hard people work for their money. How hard people work to make an extra buck. We've got to learn from them how to honor and how we should work. People work so hard for money. Why do we work so hard for Torah? People can live on 4 or 5 hours sleep when they're in business. And they're alive the whole day. They're working. They can live it through the whole day and they enjoy the day. Why can't we get away 4 or 5 hours sleep when we're learning? Honor meaning the Hema meaning. We've got to learn from them how we're supposed to be honored. I'd like to move on to quite a strange character, a fascinating character, a mysterious character, and a character ultimately who made two nations come into the world that Klal Yisrael have absolutely no shaykhus to, or not allowed to marry into, Amon and Moav, and ultimately though Mashiach comes out from him, Lot. Lot. We have here a character called Lot. Lot, the nephew of Avraham Avinu. Here he is. He packs his bags with Avraham Avinu. He's idealistic like with Avraham Avinu. Ve'yelech Avraham kashiv Hashem. Ve'yelech itoy Lot. Not ve'yikach Lot. This is interesting. Next part is ve'yikach Avraham esav ve'es Lot ben Ochid. He went with him at first, and then Avraham Avinu really schlepped him along later on. But at the beginning, Lot had the initial idea to go with Avraham Avinu. He went with him. And he goes to Avraham Avinu, and he's close to Avraham Avinu. And this Lot carries on, and he builds up with Avraham Avinu, and they become wealthy together. And then it says, later on, it says, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Hey, we have a story here. The Gamla Lot, Ha'hilech es Avraham, Ha'hilech es Avraham, Ha'hilech es. He has sheep, and he has cattle, and he has tents, he has money, and they couldn't get on together. What was the machlekes? Like he rib ben roya mikne Avram, ben roya mikne Lot, vaknanim vakvizi oz Yosha ba'aretz. So the pasuk really tells us what the argument was about. The argument was whether Avram Avinu has a right to start allowing his animals to take benefits from Eretz Yisrael before Hashem actually gave it to them in the later stage. The royal Lot said, Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we allowed to allow our animals to graze anywhere we want. And the royal Avram said, no, you can't. It's only later on HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually giving Eretz Yisrael the poyal. Now it's just giving it in potential. That's why the Pasuk says, Rakhnaribaprizi of Yosha Ba'oritz, they were still dwelling there, and therefore the Jews had no right really to benefit from it. This was the first stage what happened, the first split in Avram Avinu and Lot. The Pasuk carries on, the Pasuk says, let's not allow an argument between you and me, between my shepherds and your shepherds. We're brothers. The whole world is in front of us. If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. Avraham Avinu, the person who's Makarev, who went around the world shouting Yad Hashem, screaming Yesh Elokim HaShemayim, being Makarev Oda Vodazara to his house. The next parasha talks about how Avraham Avinu, as an old man, ran after 3 Arabs in order to be Makar of them. And here his own nephew, he says, he won't need to separate from. Why? Why? You go right, I'll go left. What happened here? There's an argument over money. Sort it out. The prophet carries on, the prophet says, and Lot picked up his eyes, and he saw the Kikar HaYardin, Kicholam Mashke, it's all fantastic, and Lot went towards the Doim. The prophet carries on, Yud Aleph, and Yisa Lot Mikedem. Lot went Mikedem. Mikedem, says Rashi, Umedrash Agoya, Medrash Agodo, Hisiya Asmoy Mekadmoyne Shal Oilam. He separated himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar, he said, I want nothing to do with Avraham Avinu, not with his God. What happened to this man? Here's a man who's so idealistic, who's willing to leave his home and his place of birth and everything else without a Tzivay Hashem, without the Hapkocha, you'll be wealthy. And now he's a complete apokoros. What happened to him? So I want to break down this parasha in a few different stages. Stage number one is Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Reuven Krizensky. Rabbi Reuven Krizensky says as follows. He says the problem with Lot was that when Avraham Avinu explained to him that he's making a mistake, he wasn't willing to hear, wasn't willing to listen. Lot decided that he's going to be on a spiritual platter. He's not going to grow anymore. He's quite happy where he is. I think that Hashem means this. You think it means that. I'm not willing to learn from you anymore. Once Avraham Avinu saw that Lot was not willing to learn from him, he threw him out the house. A person not willing to strive, a person not willing to look to grow, is going to by definition fall. Avraham Avinu tried to influence Lot. When he saw Lot could not be influenced, he threw him out. Avraham Avinu, big makariv, threw him out. Because such a person is going to fall, is going to pull everyone else down with him. He threw him out. A person doesn't want to grow is going to fall. And that's what happened. As soon as he stopped growing, he saw the big, wide, dazzling world out there. And he saw Kika Hayarde Tichula Mashke. Once a person starts having an interest in Ruchnias, he has interest in Gashmias. The prophet said by Yosef, "The boy reik ain boy mayim, mayim main boy. Aven achoshim vakravim yesh boy. If there's mayim, Torah is compared to mayim. If there's no mayim, there's achoshim vakravim. There's snakes and scorpions in the mind." Says the Rambam, "Ain the certain thoughts of immorality do not happen. Elavim misha liboy ponim in a Torah. Only from a mind is empty from Torah." If a person doesn't have Torah, if a person doesn't have the will to grow, automatically he's going to fall. He's going to have thoughts of other things he shouldn't be thinking about. And eventually, what's he going to do? What's the next stage? The next stage is he's going to be pulled further and further and further away from Torah, and he's going to start hating Torah. And then he make a whole ideology about it. The biggest minds, Rahman al-Islam, are the people, very often, the biggest anti-Semites, the biggest anti-Torah, the people who had a taste of Torah. And they've left Torah. And because they've left Torah, they've tasted the sweet taste, and they feel they can't get back to it. And they're the biggest haters of Torah. All the way through generations, they have found that. The biggest minds, very often, the biggest people who hate Klal Yisrael, and hate Yiddishkeit the most, because they make an ideology, a genius ideology, against what the Torah did. And that's why Yisrael Lot Mikedem Lot did exactly that. By separating himself, by not willing to learn, he allowed other things to come in. He saw Gashmias, he saw the bigger world out there, and eventually he felt bad, and they made a whole ideology, and he said, "I don't want anything to do with Lo Be Avram or Lo Be Lekov, not with Avram and not with his God." A certain Baal Tshuva came to one of his Rosh Hashivas. He was totally secular. And he said, "Rabbi, I hate you." So, you know, rabbis, you know, probably had worse things said to them. He said, "So why do you hate me?" He said, "Because of what you made me do in Yeshiva." He said, "What did I make you do in Yeshiva? You don't look like you're following anything I told you to do in Yeshiva." Yeah. He said, "You're right. I'm not doing anything you told me to do in Yeshiva. But every time I do something wrong, I don't get enjoyment anymore like I did before I went to Yeshiva. And that's why I hate you. You took away the geshmak of Navera from me. I always feel bad. And that causes sinner. That causes tremendous hatred." The Gemara says, Godol, it's tremendous is the hatred and Amoritz has for Talmud Chochem. Rabbi Akiva, before he became a Talmud Chochem, he said he could bite a person like an ass. An ass doesn't bite. Yeah, but when it does, it's bad. Because it's totally unnatural. It's totally wild. You see today, Nebuch, there's so many people who have had an education and are today running different parties on the political spectrum in Israel that have such hatred for anything Jewish. anything Jewish, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Torah, Yeshivas, anything Jewish, anything looks or smells Jewish, I have a tremendous hatred for. More than any other nation in the world. I don't think the Pakistanis would mind Jews keeping Yom Kippur. What do they care? I don't think even anti-Semites, I don't even think the French would mind. Why is it these people hate it so much that from people keep Yom Kippur? What is it? Because there's a sinner. There's a hatred there because they know there's something that they should be doing. And that was late. But Yisrael late Nikedem. And that's why the Torah says later on, you can't even speak to them. Don't look into them. Don't ever try and bring them back. Don't allow marriages to do one nation to the other. Don't seek their good forever. Don't try and be makar of them because it won't work. Because they're so involved in their sick ideologies, they're so involved in
structures.
No, they're in their mind. They build their whole security system around them that chas v'shalom they should not be attacked from the outside.
There's
a certain word. No, there's
self-justifications.
Oh. Getting there. Cognitive dissidence. They build themselves with such cognitive dissidence.
That is Mahajan the Mahajan.
That they build themselves with such cognitive not belief that they built a whole security system, a whole circuit breaker before they can come anywhere near the real root of their problem. However, you've got to know that eventually. But Ezra Hashem, these people will have a way back. These people, even though they had such a terrible beginning, their children may not marry. Dovid HaMelech and Mashiach came out from him. Because the Maisi had a good chinuch. The Maisi, he was Mechunach from Avraham Avinu. Eventually, Ezra Hashem, these people will come back. I'm not going into the whole idea behind it. Mr. Hashem will go more into next week. Exactly that idea behind Mashiach and Lot. But that was a cliff behind Lot. Lot was a strange fellow. Mr. Shem will see next week exactly what it was. But the ideology started from not wanting to grow. Once you don't grow, one looks into other things, and then eventually one falls into hating Klal Yisrael and hating Hashem and hating the Torah.
What did he see the plains of the Yarden for his flocks?
Sorry?
The plains of the Yarden, that's what Allah raised his eyes to.
And that's what?
I was wondering if that's the same place that Gad and Reuben also put their eyes to.
I just want to bring in an interesting Kirov idea here. Pasuk says in Pasuk Yudalad, Vashem Omar, pray with Gimel, Pasuk Yudalad, Vashem Omar Avram, Achrei Hipporid Loit Mi'imoi. Hashem said to Avram, after Loit separated himself from him, Sona Inecho, and he gave a whole Mavua over here. Which is quite amazing, because if one understands that, one sees that only after Lot separated himself from Avram Avinu did Avram Avinu get Nevuah, not before. Avram Avinu realized that as long as he sticks around Lot, he's not going to get Nevuah, and he's still stuck around him.
Although he did before, though, Rashi says.
Beforehand he got, but at this stage he wouldn't have got. As long as Lot was with him, he wasn't going to get Nevuah. And therefore he was holding back Nevuah, which is the closest connection to infinity. Right, the first level pleasure of having a message speaking to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu conveying messages to him, and he's willing to give that up for the sake of Kiruv. He wanted the car of his Lot, and only once he separated Lot, because he had to separate from him, only then did the Kodesh Baruch Hu speak to him. And Avraham Avinu was willing to give that up for the sake of Kiruv. It's unbelievable. Okay, you've got to be Avraham Avinu sometimes. I know where you're holding to give certain things up, but that lesson is true. The Pasuk says later on, Vayobay Apolit. This is a famous story of the four kings against the five kings. And Vayobay Apolit, this is in Pasuk Perek Dalet Pasuk Gimel. The pasuk prior to that says, "V'yichles Loit es Korach Chushev ben Ochi Avram v'yelchu v'hu yoshev b'stoyim." It took everything of Loit and all his property. V'yovei Hapolit, and Hapolit came v'yagel Avram ha'Ivri and told Avram ha'Ivri. Who was Hapolit? Oig. Why is it onomatopoeia? Oig. Now the big ogre. Oig. Right? It was Oig. Says the Medrash, why did Oig come along and tell Avram Avinu that Loit was captured?
Because
he wanted to marry Sarah. He hoped Avram Avinu would die. And for that abominable idea behind wanting to marry Sarah, it says later on, by Moshe Rabbeinu, fearing, hundreds of years later Oig lived, for the schus of this. And that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Avikol HaNaviim, was afraid to fight with Oig because of the schus that Oig had, that he saved Loit. Big deal. Here we learn a tremendous lesson. That even if a person has a chesed, the mighty did a chesed, one has no idea what kind of reward he gets later. That Moshe Rabbeinu should be afraid to kill him hundreds of years later, he was afraid because he did a chesed, that even though the chesed was done with the wrong intention, the mighty did a chesed.
So in fighting other nations, it wasn't a problem because it was obvious that those people never did any chesed whatsoever. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a good chance that they did some chesed in some form.
Why this chesed was more than any other chesed needs to be looked into. Right. I don't know. Everyone must have done something.
Right.
But this apparently Oig was a melech haboshon, a melech of the country. He did such a chesed, maybe it was something stronger than a regular person.
Well, so Moshe was scared to kill him.
Moshe was afraid to kill him. That's what God brings down in Sanhedrin.
Right.
So I want to tell you an amazing story said over by the Brush of Hareba. Zeche Sadek Vibracha, a cousin of my father-in-law.
Who's they?
The Brush of Hareba. The Brush of Hareba lived through the concentration camp, and he wrote a very famous trubus in a concentration camp on the time he liked one. It was very similar to the Klosenberg Rebbe in that stage, of very close friends. And he was a tremendous tzaddik. He lived, I think, in his late 90s. He says that there was in Krakow a family called Family Hiller. And the Family Hiller in 1942 felt that the noose was tightening amongst the Jews in Krakow. And the Nazis at that time were already rounding up Jews to do hard labour. And they felt that the time was very limited. They'll soon be all deported and killed. So Mrs. Hiller had one child, and she decided that she hit upon a plan how to save this child. She had a friend outside the ghetto called Family Yakovitz. Interesting name, Yakovitz. A Polish family. All these details are exact. A family called Yakovitz. And this family Yakovitz were friendly with the Hillers. As far as I know, the family, Mrs. Yakovitz, actually helped the Hillers, was like the cleaning lady. And she dressed up one day as a non-Jewish woman, and she took the little boy to the Yakovitzes. And she said, "I know I'm going to die, or I'll be deported soon. And therefore I ask you one favor. Please bring up my child, look after him, but bring him up as a Jew. And after the war, I will come back and I'll fetch him, hopefully if I live. If I don't live, I'll give you two letters to his two uncles, one in America, one in Washington DC, and one in Montreal. Send his letters to the uncles and they'll deal with this child in the correct way." So Mrs. Yakovitz got very close to this child and brought up the child as her own. And the love she had for this child was such that she felt that although the mother had asked to bring the child up Jewish, the only love she can possibly give this child is to obviously baptize this child. So she brought the child to the local priest, and he said, "I'd like to baptize this child." This child was brought to church every week. The child learned all the hymns and all the psalms, and he knew the Gabba, and he knew the Baal Torah, he knew everything in the church. He knew the ins and outs. And he came to the church and to be baptized. And this Galach, this priest, looked at the child and said, "One second, this child must be about 10, 11 years old. Why wasn't he baptized before? Why wait until now? You know, the baptized, you know, the gowns are much cheaper and smaller. Why bring him now? So this is Jacobus didn't want to say, but this priest pushed her, and she said, "I tell you the truth. This child was a is a Jewish child, and the parents told me to bring the child up Jewish, and I said I would. But you know, I know and you know what the real MS is, and therefore I want to baptize this child." So the priest said, the priest called.
This afterwards?
This afterwards in 1946. The priest was called Carol Rog Tila.
Oh.
Okay.
What?
Carol Rog Tila. This pope, this little priest on a little parish in the middle of nowhere, became Pope John Paul II.
Wow.
Says Blue Jabber.
Wait, his name is not Paul? No.
Just a name they put onto him. Maybe for a push lame or something, I don't know. That's another name. Be that as it may. This boy eventually, I just want to tell you the story here, the end of the story. This boy eventually made it over to Canada. The Canadian Jewish Congress brought him over in 1950.
Why? No,
the Pope refused to baptize him.
Why?
Because he said if you promise the mother, you have to keep your promise.
He actually, he's apparently saved a lot of Jews. He didn't want to save Jews.
Okay, yeah, right. And this is one story we know for sure.
And the rest of it.
Anyway, this child was sent to Canada in 1949. In 1951, President Truman signed a special bill to allow certain Canadian children to receive American citizenship who originally came from Poland. This is one of the few children. This boy, little Hiller boy, became a successful businessman, was still in contact with the Yakovits for many, many times, send them money and presents and letters. And one day Mrs. Yakovits told this boy that, "I want to tell you the truth, I don't want to try to baptize you." Said the Blue Jew forever.
No, the boy was still raised Christian.
No, this boy is raised now. He went to his uncle's, he's raised now. He's living as an Orthodox Jew.
After this scenario.
He was sent to America, he was sent to Canada and went to America, he's raised as an Orthodox Jew. Says the Blue Jew forever, "Who knows the schus of one mitzvah?" This little galus in the middle of nowhere. What's he got? A little nothing, you know, not married. A little nothing parish in the middle of Poland. And now he becomes the Pope who's got a tremendous influence and money and fame and covered. Who knows the schus of one mitzvah? In this world.
Can I go in and do a mitzvah?
Of course.
I mean, does it come as a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah.
He's clearly over. And it's a B'nai Noach.
Why?
I don't worship.
Fine.
The priest of I don't worship.
Fine. Of course. One day he's going to go in a very hot place, presumably. But a Meister, in this world he did a chesed, and so is Oli. But a Meister, in this world he did a chesed, he did a big mitzvah, and he gets tremendous schar for that. Every little mitzvah one does, one has no idea the kind of schar one gets. Of course.
Even though we pass on mitzvahs through the commandment?
Not with this. We see with this.
What award does it give?
The tremendous wealth that the Pope had and covered he has from that mitzvah. I'm not saying it's a Blue Jabber ever said this. And he said it's mitzvah to pass in this story. It's a mitzvah to publicize this story. Because it shows us the element of schar a person will get by doing small mitzvahs. One has no idea what kind of schar.
That's very good. I think it's a big mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah. It's a huge mitzvah.
I just want to finish up with one last thing here. There is a Ramban that needs looking into. I'm just going to mention it briefly. The Ramban says that Behuye Pera Odom is referring to that, to Yishmol. Behuye Pera Odom means he will be a Pera Odom. Means that it wasn't only for that time, but who para odom, who year means all generations he's going to remain a para odom. Yeah? And it means he can be an educated lawyer, he'll still be a lawyer odom, a lawyer para. He'll still be a para odom lawyer. He'll still be a para odom doctor. He can still have people who have gone through universities and still become suicide bombers. Yeah? Who year para odom means forever. And somebody once asked the Chofetz Chaim if it's worth going to Eretz Yisrael because you know, there's terrible things going on just after the Hebron massacre. And the Chofetz Chaim says, "V'hu yeh per odom," and he sighed. He says, "Ver veis, who knows? V'alchet soros v'alchet krigen. What soros are we going to have from the Arabs?" but still worth going to Eretz Yisrael. But who yeah per other means he's going to be a per other. Eventually he's always going to be a per other. The Ramban says that Sorrow Mena made a big mistake by throwing Ishmael out of the house, by throwing Hoggah out of the house. Made a big mistake. Again, Chas Hashem for us, it says such a thing, but the Ramban says it. And if Ramban says it, we can quote what the Ramban says. He said that mistake was a mistake, and we're suffering by that mistake till today. There's another big mistake we made, and that big mistake was sending out one of the Tanoim, sent out Yoshki, sent out JC, we threw him out. And look how many sorrows we're having from that today. One has to be so careful. Kiruv is so important. It has its demarcation lines. When Avraham Avinu, the biggest Makarov in the world, the hero of Kiruv, he threw out his own nephew when things weren't looking good. But by throwing out somebody, one has to be so careful. How one throws a person out, how one distances oneself from a person, because Chas Rishon, for generations from generations, thousands and millions of people can suffer.
But Hashem tells Abraham to listen to Sarah.
But look in the Ramban there. Running out of time. Look in the Ramban there. The Ramban says, because the Derech Shalom writes to Lelech Malicha Noisoi, he wanted to do it to follow, which is great to Nevoah. I'm not going to look in the Ramban there. If you have time, look in the Ramban. Interesting Ramban. Be that as it may, this parashas Lech Lecha, you can go on and learn it for months and months, even years probably. But the idea behind the parasha is to have a small idea of who the Gedolim were, who the Ovis were, how to learn, how to follow our goals, how to get through difficult situations, how to be Moisei Nefesh on a day-to-day basis. That's the Ikar Tilus Hashem. That's the Ikar Mesiras Nefesh. How Chas V'Shalom to be careful not to stray from the smallest step of not willing to grow is by definition a step down. How a mitzvah is going to help us, how chesed helps us, even if it's not meant in the correct intent. Every mitzvah has its tremendous star. And should be zayich b'ez Hashem, of v'choy choysimu, that the HaKadosh Baruch should give us the chasim of the golus through the schus of the people who are moish nefesh and day to day.